Welcome back. This has been a pretty extraordinary show so far. Right in the middle of it, we saw a 6.9 earthquake happen off the northern coast of California. And then just about the same time, a 6.3 near Oaxaca, Mexico. And reports of people feeling it as far away as Richmond, Virginia. So it's been quite an eventful night. No injuries or destruction yet reported. So hopefully everyone will be okay if you're up near Eureka. We've already gotten reports that everything's okay. So yeah, we're carrying on. We're talking with Michael Horn about the Billy Meier case, and it is an opportunity for you to call in and ask your question about this case. I know there are people on both sides of it, and it is worthy of discussion, especially when we get the opportunity to talk to Michael himself, because there's so much. We're going to try and find out about the best new prophecies and predictions that so we can have them on record, because it seems like events are, I don't know, speeding up. Does that feel like to you? We got Russia invading and earthquakes and all kinds of stuff going on. So let's get some of this on record and your phone calls right after the break. Welcome back to Coast AM. Your phone calls in this hour. We're talking with Michael Horn. And Michael, give us an idea, some succinct sort of predictions that we can say now and see where we're at in the future.
Well, I laugh about that, succinct. Meyer has, fairly voluminous amount of prophetic and predictive information. And people, of course, look, I understand. We want, not only do we want the eye candy, but we want the titillating stuff. I'm telling you, I enjoy reading stuff. And then I come to a point where I'm going, now, wait a minute. Billy's been writing this stuff literally for over 60 years. He has been warning. He's the first guy to warn about climate change, global warming, the increase in earthquake and volcanic activity tied into mining and oil extraction. And he warned about AIDS by name, plastic credit cards, two U.S. wars with Iraq, cellular phones, and that every home would have a television and computer, and it would be interconnected electronically around the world. He wrote that in 1958. That document, that whole, bit of prophetic information is in a 1958 letter. There's 162 separate things in there. If we go to the core of this, and I feel I'm going to be irresponsible if I don't put it this way, we've been warned. Atomic energy is beyond toxic. We cannot get rid of these effects. The BP disaster, we covered that in the film too. That stuff is still going to affect us. These things don't disappear. I can go into stuff here and start reading and or pointing you to it, and it becomes like doom and gloom all over
Well,
again.
that's the message you're saying, is that it's a cautionary
It's
sort
to
of.
get us to move our consciousness. Like, go back to your great question before about the Pleiaren intersecting, interfering, influencing. Yes, in the sense that they said, look, working hand in hand with Meyer. See, Meyer in his own right is a prophet. I mean, that simply means somebody that foretells. His track record is impeccable, and it's specific, voluminous amounts of specific stuff. Okay. The Pleiaren contributed to his prophetic and predictive information in the departments of the sciences, where they would take him and show him stuff. I mean, I think it's 1982. He's on a craft and he's looking out at a planetary alignment, and one of the ETs, Quetzal, says to him, "Well, if you come over to this screen, you can move these things." He describes three-dimensional holographic technology, touchscreen technology, in 1982. So we come down, Rob and audience, to some core things here. Is this real? You determine that for yourself. I'm there. 35 years of investigating this, and all the debunking attempts and skeptics, and all the scientists that won't come public, some that have, and are authenticating this stuff. But if it's true, why? What are they trying to tell us that, and have they told us? Yes, how do we settle down all of our environmental problems? And, for instance, in the film, we point out, you know, Myers says it himself too, the answer to our energy needs right now, to an enormously high percentage, is deep geothermal energy. Not let's raise millions of dollars for free energy and keep the scam going. Free energy, yes, of course, they use free energy, but we're not there yet. We're not going to be there in time. If we keep polluting and contaminating and destroying ourselves with all this stupid oil, you know, and gas and coal.
Yeah.
So deep geothermal is being used in places like Iceland, some other places, Switzerland, and there's a company in California. There is an inexhaustible source of energy that comes up in the form of heat from the center, or deep in the earth is enough. We don't have to go to the core. It turns turbines and produces electricity till the cows come home. We find alternatives for synthetic lubricants and things. We start to perhaps use the abundant silica for other things that we're currently using petroleum for. These are practical, down-to-earth, get-your-head-straight people. Hmm. You're human beings. We've been there. They told Meyer in all this Fukushima stuff, in that article, it's on my site, they said, look, we lost 43 million people in our world some long time ago with this atomic power plant stuff ourselves. Hmm. Because meteorites struck, and then earthquakes will destroy these things, and you people are building these idiot things on fault lines and near the seacoast, like Fukushima, and that you've had accidents that have been unreported to you.
Yeah, well, this is the problem, because people want this. There has been technologies that have been developed that could end our dependency, but there is such a stranglehold on this earth, and more wealth and power is going into fewer and fewer hands. We are up against a battle that we're struggling to overcome to get to these cleaner energies.
But we're also up against a battle with a well-meaning, well-intended people in the environmental fields, in the so-called New Age or New Thought, paranormal, UFO, people who are also have ideas that run counter to some of the stuff that these people, the player, and I'll give you a great example. My friend Matt texted me, and he said, look, tell him about, you know, this core of the problem here. And this will drive people crazy. The player and Meyer have said for the longest time, the core of your problems on your planet is that you reproduce at such an alarming rate as you outstrip the planet's natural, nature-given capability to not only feed you healthily without, you know, all this contamination that you're doing, but to dispose of the waste products of all the humans and the animals bred for the production of all this. Listen, they told Meyer eons ago, yes, of course, eventually you just, you know, you'll grow meat because meat contains great nutrients. There's moral questions to it, and it's economically and environmentally crazy to keep breeding animals, all the methane, all these. We don't want to hear that we're overpopulated. We don't want to hear it. No, it's the elite wants to wipe us out. No, we're doing a great, you know, service to ourselves here. We're wiping ourselves out by just boxing ourselves in ever-increasing numbers where people are in strife all over the world.
Yeah.
Fighting for resources.
There's, of course, a lot of problems that we are focused on, not only in specific countries, but globally. And this world is getting smaller and smaller every day.
The water situation, Rob.
And we need help. I mean, if it's not just bringing attention to it, which is helpful, but no, we need to organize this. Well, you know what? I'm not the only one who wants to ask you questions. Let's jump on the phone. Let's go to West of the Rockies. Jill is in Scappoose, Oregon. Welcome, Jill.
Hi there.
Hi. You're on with Michael Horn.
It's good to talk to you because I'm a little worried about this 9-point whatever. Yeah. That's running along the Cascadia line.
6.9.
I live in Scappoose, which is at sea level. I'm wondering what hill do I run to get out of the way?
This is a difficult question, Jill, because as human beings, we're very resistant for many reasons. I'm among them.
I'm sorry, I can't hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. I say human beings, including all of us, we're resistant to change. We don't want to hear that where we're living is dangerous. We put it off. We do funny little things in our mind, and we move things onto back burners. We've also just, it's no comfort to you, but that we've been warned that in the La Palma area on the west coast of Africa, that volcano is also going to erupt unless humans here with that process by grading down the volcano side, the west-facing side. Otherwise, a trillion tons of mass will send a huge tsunami to the East Coast. But you're up there in that Washington area. Oregon.
Oregon, yeah.
Oh, right there. Okay.
Columbia River. A mile from the Columbia River.
Let's look at it this way. If and when that earthquake and tsunami hit, 9.0 for 5 minutes, if you're in that area, if one is in that area, the human body is not meant to survive a shock of a 9.0 running for 5 minutes. And again, I'm not in the doom and gloom department. I'm saying we've been given this information. It's uncomfortable. What do we do? Do we keep allowing things to occur without, you know, acting? And unfortunately, like Meyer says in one of these things in the prophecies, that even when certain events happen, he says, and in the third millennium, when parts of the continents disappear and people have to flee to the mountains, yet their sense of the catastrophes will only be of short duration because they'll forget everything again quickly and make an effort to rebuild in the same place.
Well, I'm legally blind, so I don't see really good.
Yeah.
And I can't drive a car anymore. So, you know, I'm wondering, who do I get that's going to run me up the hill?
Well, I hear you.
You have neighbors?
I'm 66 years old.
Yeah.
So I'm about George's age. And
he probably doesn't want anybody.
I'm thinking, maybe I just kiss it goodbye and say, it's been nice knowing you.
Well, Jill, don't you have neighbors and don't you have community that look out for each other up there?
Yes.
Yeah.
We happen to be in a gated community right now.
Okay.
And so I just haven't, we've only been here for a couple of months, so I haven't gotten to know the neighbors that
well. Yeah. I'm sure once you do, then you'll probably, feel a little bit better about things.
Yes, hopefully.
I hope so. Thanks for your call, Joe. I appreciate you calling. Michael, you mentioned that Billy is a prophet. Now, isn't he the reincarnation of some pretty significant prophets of the past?
Here's how I put it. According to the information in this case, because it's something that neither I nor anybody else can prove, nor, of course, disprove, but yes, according to the information in the case, Meyer's spirit, not his personality, since we are never the same personality, Meyer's spirit has enlivened six previous prophets before him, and their names were Enoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Muhammad. It's controversial enough. I said Emmanuel? Who's that? Isaiah 7:14, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. New Testament, Matthew, it's 1:23 or 1:26, and his name shall be called Emmanuel. So this is yet another element in this case that drives people bonkers, because basically what's being said in this case, that they put it forward very plainly, there was no man named Jesus Christ. There was a man named Emmanuel, as foretold in Isaiah, and he was a great prophet and teacher. He was crucified. He knew that was coming. He survived the crucifixion. Afterwards, he traveled to India. There's a tomb there for Isa, there's the interesting thing about that tomb. Two human feet marks were carved into the base of the tomb with crucifixion nail images carvings in the middle of them. Mm-hmm. And I think the legend on that tomb was something like, here lies a great teacher who was crucified in his own country and came here to teach us, type of a thing. There's a lot of information. We even have the Paul David's movie, Jesus in India.
The definitive movie. And didn't they find some gypsum there?
Yeah, well, that was when Meyer was working with a man named Isa Rashid in 1964. They were led telepathically by the Pleiaren to a hillside, a burn, and there was this little hole in the side. They dug out and dug their way in. It was an ancient, ancient tomb. Stones were on the floor that covered the floor. Meyer and Isa Rashid lifted stones until they found what Meyer kind of knew in advance was going to be there for certain reasons. And these were resin-encrusted, animal-skin-wrapped scrolls written in Aramaic. Isa Rashid had been, if you will, chosen to be involved in this. He didn't have direct contact, but the Pleiaren had impulsed him because he could read Aramaic and he also read and wrote in German. He was given these scrolls. Over a period of years, he translated a portion of them, sent them to Meyer. They were published in German and then in English as the Talmud Emmanuel. they attracted the attention of a man named James Deardorff in Oregon, a professor, who thought it was a Bible hoax, and he went out to debunk it, and he published a book subsequently called Celestial Teachings, and his conclusion was this is the original writing upon which the book of Matthew is based, not the other way around. It resolves all sorts of contradictions and questions that were raised by scholars, and it, in addition to 125 additional questions that were published or raised resolved after the Talmud was published. All this stuff, in his research, he said, look, this resolves all these issues in Matthew. This is the real deal. Now, there were errors in the translation and all, and a new German language translation just came out. We don't have it in English yet, except that we know that Meyer and the Pleyaran put in additional information in the foreword informing that there were 17 female disciples to Emmanuel, also known as J.C., and that these, the women's work was expunged, of course, when they created the New Testament and changed this to the personality of Jesus. This is, the information in the case. And Mary Magdalene was an intimate of Emmanuel's, but she was not his wife. Meyer said that Emmanuel married when he was in India, when he was at about 48 years of age. His mother died, Mary died, and he married a woman, an Indian woman, bore, quote-unquote, numerous descendants, one of whom was a son named Joseph. 70 years after the crucifixion, brought the original scrolls to Jerusalem, went to the tomb, put them along with something Gabriel had given to Emmanuel, which was a piece of gypsum, and there were small carvings that the Indian healers had, three Indian healers had been brought in to help resuscitate him after the crucifixion, because in those missing years that we don't know about from religion, Emmanuel was in India. He was studying with adepts there and people who were advanced in meditational technique. He was taught by, earth people as well as Gabriel.
That's the story, that he went on there, and there's a lot of traditions that talk about his travels there, and temples and things like that. Well, let's jump back into the phones. We've got Josh, the wild card line, Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Welcome.
Good evening or morning, wherever you are, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's a pleasure to be on, and I'm sadly, my program is running a little bit behind, so I didn't know who was on at the time. But I do have a good question for this smart individual.
Yes.
He says that this gentleman that he works with is like a prophet, or is a prophet. And so does he see anything in our immediate future that would necessarily jeopardize humanity? And on a side note, does it have to do anything with aliens or UFOs? And if they are to be in our future, are those UFOs physical or extraterrestrial? And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
Thanks, Josh.
Okay, let me go backwards on this about the ET thing. Look, the universe is filled with good and bad, light and dark, happy and sad. Right now, our greatest dangers come from us, and this has been the case for some time. So-called aliens, extraterrestrials, or what have you, who are not walking on the earth, and they're not working for our government under the sands in Nevada or any place else, a very ludicrous idea, they don't want to. There's no reason for them to interfere. Would there be and will there be threats from hostile races? Undoubtedly, in the course of this evolution and technology, we will have to confront that, but that is not in our immediate future.
Hmm. Well, okay, let's hold it right there because we're just up against a break. And when we come back, more phone calls and more revelations about, really, the biggest case in ufology, Billy Meyer. My name is Rob Simone. This is Coast to Coast AM. Stay right there. Yeah, welcome back to the program here on Coast to Coast AM. The final half hour with Michael Horn. We're taking your phone calls. And Michael, you there?
Yes.
I'm wondering about this story that you told me a while back. There were so many sightings where Billy Meyer's ranch is up near Schmidt Rudy. And at one point, because you said there's a lot of sort of government attention, that they put up some sort of surveillance tower on a hill near his home?
Actually, what you're referring to is there's a military base literally just up the road from Billy, over overlooking the area where his home, his you know, property is. And the CIA took that over in the 70s, and they were monitoring him from there, and they actually got some of their own photos of the craft. They know it's real. This case is known to be true at the Vatican, for gosh sakes. They know who Meyer is, and they are not happy about it. But
how do we know the Vatican knows?
The Pléyard have let Meyer know.
Coming from them.
Yeah. You know, they said, you know, by the way, the Vatican is now starting to incorporate some of your teaching in trying to recruit more members to the faith. They're going to, you know, create it. It's a whole story in and of itself, but suffice it to say, according to the information in the case, that, you know, the Meyer case is known in very high intelligence circles. The CIA monitored him from there. They no longer use that base. I had asked Billy about 5 years ago. I said, you know, the CIA is still up there. He says, no. He says, you know, their technology is very sophisticated. You know, by the way, that Meyer published the whole thing about the NSA and Microsoft and all that stuff years ago. It's on my website. You can just search NSA. You'll find the article before Snowden came out with this stuff. So this is another thing. And the SOG team from the CIA and how they foment, you know, wars and assassinations and stuff. So Billy's been a target for certain reasons. Clearly, this just leads to so many places that if you say, well, what about the thing on the hill? And then, you know, it just goes all over. And Billy said to me, he says, you know, I don't know why they just never came down and knocked on the door and asked me what they wanted to know.
Not really their way. Right. I mean, there's so much to this that people have to search it out for themselves, really. And why don't we let them do that right now? Let's go to the wild card line. Well, Becca, you're on with Michael Horn. Rebecca, Bakersfield, California. Yeah, you're on with Michael Horn.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Turn
your radio down.
What the solution is? I mean, you said I can do something. What can I do?
And
I would like
you
to start doing that.
Okay.
Is there guidance you can give me with some specific instruction?
Yes. Here's
I've heard of any of this.
On my website, there's a section called Spiritual Teaching, freely available. There's a beautiful thing. It runs about 200 and some odd sentences from Semyaze, Meyer's alleged third contact person, called Introduction to the Spiritual Teaching. It sets the stage for us to understand what we are, how we evolve, and it's one of a number of articles that would get you looking at this whole idea, because what this rest says, and this is not a very flashy or glorious answer. I mean, it's not like, well, we'll point ourselves to the North Star. It's about our thinking, our self-responsibility, our taking ourselves away from all the external distractions and entertainment and coming into learning how we think and learning how to think and realizing that every thought we have, whether we're aware or not, leads us forward because it creates our feelings. Those feelings create little thoughts. Those thoughts create our actions. This, on the microcosm, is in our life, and in the macrocosm is our collective life in this world. This is what we have been disempowered from by politics and religion because everything's outside of us, the beliefs, the leaders, the gods, the saints, saviors, and angels. So we transfer our self-responsibility out. Now, some people go, oh, that's a little boring. I want something flashier. No, this is the deal. We have to learn how to do this. There are little groups now forming around the country, people studying a book of Meyer's called The Might of the Thoughts. It is an amazing book on how thinking works. It goes way beyond what we have with our self-help and New Age stuff, which looks like kindergarten compared to how this process works and how we step by step, thought by thought, change our lives over time. And there's no quick fix, You know, it's not a quick fix, folks.
Yeah.
We took time to get in this mess. So that is the essence of the answer in the Meyer case.
Okay.
It's up to us.
Yeah, you know, it's not about sort of believing or making an opinion on the case either way. You can look at the material, and that could be something that could help you one way or the other. Well, we're going to take the quick break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk to Craig in Wisconsin right after this. Welcome back to Coast to Coast AM. We're talking with Michael Horn. His website is theyfly.com, linked up right now at coasttocoastam.com. And we're talking about the Billy Meyer case, and phone calls are coming in every which way. Let's jump over, as I said we would, to Wisconsin, east of the Rockies. Craig, you're on with Michael Horn.
Hi, Rob and Michael.
Hey.
Hi. Earlier tonight, Michael, you mentioned Michio Kaku and Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yes.
And this is a great conversation. Earlier tonight, I watched the Cosmos series that's based on the original Carl Sagan.
Right.
You know, everything that ever was, everything that is, everything that ever will be is the cosmos.
Right.
And I read English translations of, there's a lot of it that is still in German. And it's interesting to see the history of, you know, where science has been, the state of science today. And it looks like a lot of corrections are going to be made at some point as, you know, scientific discovery progresses.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious if you are watching the Cosmos series.
Greg, I'm not. I don't have a TV that I watch. I'm not a snob about it. I'm just too busy. But let me tell you something about science catching up. In 1981, Meyer was told that there's an object called a red meteor that's going to slam into basically between the North Sea and Black Sea, Eastern Europe. Gave him all sorts of information on it. 2004, we discovered something called asteroid Apophis. The player and said, that's the puppy, it's coming. And unless your scientists deflect it, don't blow it up, but deflect it with a nuclear charge, it will rain down. It'll hit your world more likely in 2036 and not on the first pass in 2029. And they told him how big it was. NASA recently updated their size estimate on Apophis to within 25 meters of what Meyer was told.
Hmm.
This is, and then the Russians and the Chinese have now, in the last year or so, announced projects to deflect Apophis because that's their neighborhood. NASA is saying, there's nothing, you know, it's not going to happen. It, you know, I keep getting emails and stuff here from people. Can I just say this? Right, Rob, can I make this offer? Because people are asking about this film and stuff. For C2C listeners, anybody who wants this film of mine, I'm going to tell you, the YECRA platform that launched Sirius is going to take this film and run with it in a few weeks. But anybody from C2C that orders this film, I'm going to, as a DVD, I'm going to include another free documentary on the Meyer case with it if they just write C2C in their order. So it's my little promo here because people are writing me, and let's just give, you know, buy one, get one free kind of thing.
Okay. Kind
so
of
there's a lot of scientific stuff that Meyer got, you know, before we didn't. And I put in 55 examples in one of my films. There's 125 corroborations on my website. My blog updates them all the time. This man gets this information. It's accurate. We then start updating our science, and it's corroborating him. But you're not getting these people to acknowledge it.
I know. It's always a challenge.
Oh.
All right, let's go back to the lines. We've got wildcard line. Robert from Lakeport, California. You're on with Michael Horn.
Hi, I'm calling in regard to the earthquakes and about the fracking going on and how long we have to tolerate and endure the trampling on the earth and the Magna Carta to protect the commons and with the chemtrails making it not rain for 8 months or so when they want to block the refracting evaporation we could have and then later on making it rain continually because they do a different kind of thing that binds on the molecule like when they make snow in the ski lodge and
okay.
Well, maybe we get some help from another galaxy or something.
No.
We just could make them stop spraying paraquat on the herb. How come we got a hard time making them stop polluting it?
Let me throw you the Meyer answer on this because I recently wrote him asking about some of the extreme weather things and, you know, was it this or that? And he said, unfortunately, 75% of the weather problems, which are going to increase, we're going to have typhoons hit it with winds hitting 400 miles per hour. And the storm frequency stuff, the imbalances, this is from our, you know, decades and decades of, you know, malhandling the earth. The fracking is only going to increase earthquake and you know, seismic activity. That's what the oil drilling has set in motion. You cannot, there's so little time to, I know, look, we're doing it, and we've got to straighten our heads out, learn to think, chunk down, start reversing this thing. It's going to take time. Nobody's coming to save us, folks. This is up to us.
Well, that's your answer. Okay, let's jump over to the international line. Xavier from Toronto, Canada. You're on with Michael Horn.
Michael, good morning, Dave. Thank you very much for taking my call. Michael, you may not remember me, but I interviewed you when I had a radio program in Los Angeles about 3 years ago.
Yeah.
A couple of the points I never got a chance to ask you, I'd like to attempt to do so on Coast to Coast. I want to believe, I'm not a skeptic per se, but the problem that I have with the Billy Meier case is none of his evidence that he shows is close range. They're all pretty much long range, kind of like posterish evidence of the extraterrestrial crafts per se. Why hasn't he gotten anything really up close to show people, past or recent or whatever,
Xavier,
that you know these things are real?
He does. He does.
I'm curious to know that, you know, all of his enlightenment that he gets from these ETs. How come nothing's been recorded, anything that can show the spiritual proof?
Xavier, in the film, you know, here I'm being one of these guys in the film. Meyer took photos of the Wedding Craft UFO 20 feet away, broad daylight. The details that have now been revealed through digital enhancement are so amazing. I have them on my blog. These craft, this wedding cake craft, 20 feet away, and then the close-up, there are crystal things built into this craft all around it, and blue lenses, and it's an amazing thing. It's the clearest stuff you've ever seen. Everything else we get in this UFO world is lights in the sky, 20 feet away. Go to my blog, go to my website, and just look and search WCUFO. You're going to see amazing, amazing photographs. They have been authenticated within the last 3 months, hidden in plain sight for 33 years. I hope that will help.
Well, he popped off the phone line, but there's your answer. And yes, I've seen the photographs. They're like right. You look at this, you almost think, how can this be real? It's so clear.
Well,
yeah, it's really. Twists your mind up a bit. Well, let's jump back to Los Angeles, the wild card line. James, you're on with Michael Horn.
Yes, good evening, gentlemen. Michael, 1980, I attended a gathering with Colonel Wendell Stevens, and he had up at a metaphysical church in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and he had a girl there that was an artist. She was a Cherokee Indian, very shy, and she was contacted out in the desert where she lived. And they took her on a trip. I don't know which group did this, but Colonel anyway had her there. And when she came back, she made 54 sketches, diagrams, paintings, and what have you of everything she saw. So it was very interesting. I was wondering, did Colonel Wendell Stevens pass over of natural causes?
To the best of my knowledge, he did. And let me give you a little more information. That may, emphasize, may relate to this girl's experiences. New information recently published by Meyer from the Pleiaren shed light on, some of you will be familiar with this term, Ashtar Command. There was a real guy named Ashtar. He was connected to an extraterrestrial human group that was based until 1978 beneath the Great Pyramid in Egypt, and they were connected to some of our, if you will, gods from the past, such as Jehovah and others. This contemporary group was trying to do a world domination control thing. They were going to create a one world religion, et cetera, et cetera. And they were taking people, not even physically so much, they were manipulating their minds through very sophisticated technological telepathy to believe that they were contactees, that they were on ships and all this stuff. And many of the people up until the early 80s were still affected by this kind of thing. It's possible that she was someone who was influenced that way. I don't know. It's doubtful that she was picked up, but if she was and she's got drawings, fine and dandy. I'm only really concerned at this point. I'm not concerned with UFOs. I'm not concerned with extraterrestrials and proving anything. Now I'm more concerned with folks read the stuff. Let's learn what they're trying to get us to do, because they've given all sorts of answers of how to solve terrorism and crime and environmental problems and all this, but we have to weed through it and see if we want to even implement these things for ourselves.
Okay, let's jump back to the wild card line. Luis is in San Antonio, Texas. You're on with Michael Horn.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. It's just a pleasure to be on the air in your show. I have a question. Well, two questions. My first question, I hear Eric von Daniken disagree with Billy Meier because he created a new religion, and we had too many religions. But long time ago, when I was a child, right, in the 70s, I saw a documentary about Billy Mayer. This person, Jaime Maussan from Mexico City, mm-hmm. he used to host a show at that time in the 70s, and I was very interested about the UFOs and Billy Mayer case. And when I moved to San Antonio in 2000, I record a UFO during the evening, and I have witnessed, and I never been published it, and it makes me more aware that there is a lot of things happening in, you know, in this time, and you know, okay. I will take the answer out of there.
Sure, thank you.
Thanks, Luis.
Because time is short, I'll talk a little fast. But
yeah, just
okay. Jaime Maussan, Jaime Maussan's great guy. He knows the Mayer case is real. And
he's on Sabido Gigante.
Oh, okay. You know that then.
Yeah.
So, a lot of the UFOs that are seen are simply secret military. The majority. There is an extraterrestrial group that observes the Earth. It has four groups within it. They observe different sectors of our world. They have not landed. They're not going to make contact from what the Pleiarians said. They are just really interested in observing. And I have a friend in New York who, on a daily basis practically, in Manhattan, is for one reason or another taking photographs of what we think are their ships, for what it's worth. But the UFO part, it's the eye candy. And in case I run out of time, I just want to say one more time, if you want this film, because people write me, I will send you a free one with it. That's the end of my pitch. Can I answer something else?
No, we're just about out of time. Where can people go to get more information? Give us your websites.
There's two of them, theyfly.com and my blog, theyflyblog.com, which is linked from my website, and they are linked to other sites where you can read even more free stuff, like all the contacts, hundreds of contacts that exceeded what Wendell Stevens did. So I want you to have, just read your heart out, ask questions. If you want to get involved with study groups, fine. If you don't, fine, but start to think, change the thinking to self-responsibility. We can make a difference.
Yes. What would you be if you weren't the official spokesperson? What career would you have, do you think?
I don't know. I've done all sorts of stuff, singer, songwriter, inventor, you know, but this is the most fascinating thing in my life, and it's more important to me than anything because it pertains to the big picture for humanity and the generations to come.
Well, Michael, thank you so much.
Thank you, Rob.
Pleasure to talk with you. And, you know, it's just such a big case, and it really pulls everyone in so many different directions. I guess that's the mark of a thought-provoking topic, and that's what we'd like to do here. And it's been an absolute pleasure to sit in. This is my second night in a row, and I actually had a ball. And I want to thank everyone for listening, and thank George Norrie and the whole Coast to Coast family. It's been an absolute honor, and I hope to see you again. My name is Rob Simone, and this is Coast to Coast AM.